Good evening and welcome along once again to The Score, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a close look at what's happening in the sporting world across the Northwest. I am your host, Mark Gallagher, and we have a busy show lined up as always. So coming up later this hour, we'll head into the Glengad United camp to hear how the preparations are coming along for their 50th anniversary celebrations. Bonnygee United manager Mickey Funston will look ahead to their trip to Tipperary in the FAI Junior Cup this weekend. And we'll hear from the Finn Harps press conference held last night, where the club launched their €5 for all campaign ahead of Monday's game against Bray Wanderers at Finn Park. That is all coming up shortly, but we'll start with a preview of the action on the pitch in the League of Ireland. A bank holiday weekend, and that means it's a double weekend of fixtures. In the top flight, Derry City will look to keep their upturn in results going, as they are away to Bohemians tomorrow night and then at home to Galway United on Monday. Finn Harps are away to Wexford tomorrow night and then host Bray Wanderers at Finn Park this coming bank holiday Monday. And I'm joined now in studio by former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. Declan, thanks for popping on once again. It's good to chat to you. How are things?
Yeah, things are good. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, so a big weekend for Harps and Derry. Maybe we'll go with the Finn Harps stuff first. We spoke a few weeks ago and, you know, since then maybe things have taken a wee bit of a downward turn in terms of results. It's been a fairly tough couple of weeks for Harps.
Yeah. Results haven't been great, I suppose, the last couple of weeks, you know. So another defeat at home. And that's the disappointing aspect, is losing your home games. And you'd love to Finn Park to be the fortress and for their picking up home wins all the time. But that's not the case. Obviously, losing to Athlone at the weekend. Performance was just okay, probably. You know, probably didn't do enough to win the game. Give away a bad second goal as well, obviously. So, you know, Athlone, I beat them early in the season at home, and now I've beat them away from home as well. So they're the kind of teams that you need to be fighting with and probably, you know, beating at home for sure and staying up in the middle of the table. Like, you know, so we have taken a bit of a downward movement towards the bottom of the table at the moment. You know, so we're probably in, what, 8th, 9th at the minute. So we need to be pushing back up and getting, you know, results. And what the only way you can do that is by getting 3 points, and then can you get another 3 points top of that and add it all up. So if you can get three ones in the spin, it can push you up the table into the playoffs area, and that's where you want to be, and that's where you want to be fighting.
If you were to try and put your finger on it, what would you say is maybe the biggest issue, if that's the word, that's stopping Finn Harps from maybe turning those half-decent performances into results now heading into the next few games?
Suppose, you know, really, you need to be keeping clean sheets at home, especially, making it very difficult for teams to turn you over in games, be very difficult to beat, and then can you go then, and we're not scoring a lot of goals, but can you then go and score one or two goals at home, and, you know, and that's probably the key aspect of it. The performance against the better teams have been good. You know, you take it to UCD, you're second in the table, and UCD scored a late goal up in the Belfield there 2 weeks ago, you know, to get 3 points, and they could have got a draw out of that game. So they're not far away. It's just that consistency. Probably short 3 or 4 players and make a big difference for me on them to be up challenging with the Corks, the UCDs, the Brays, and the Wexfords, obviously, this weekend as well, which is a massive game. But yeah, you know, they're probably short a few players. Squad's probably a wee bit thin as well on the ground regarding quality. So that's probably the key aspect. And scoring goals is a big problem.
So these double weekends, as we know, they always create big swings in momentum. A team can move up the table or down the table on these weekends. Tomorrow night's game against Wexford, it's going to be another very tough game on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming in good form as well. Wexford, you know, they are a team that's going to score goals, got really dangerous players up top that cause real problems, you know, and they put on a really good performance in Finn Park as well early in the season. So they're at home and you expect them to probably win that game. But, you know, if Ken Harris produce a really big performance away from home and get 3 points, that sets them up perfect for the Bray match on the bank holiday Monday, obviously. And, you know, we played Bray before and Finn Park and got a massive result last year against them and won very comfortable in the first round of matches. But, you know, so that sets them up perfectly. But it's important to get something there, the game away from Wexford. And then hopefully from that, if you get a point, at least you might be fit to get another 3 points at home. And that's what you want to do. And that'll be a really good weekend again for Finn Harps.
We'll hear from Kevin McHugh shortly in the programme. He was speaking to Chris Ashmore last night and he referenced that Conor Turish won't be available for tomorrow night and that he would be struggling to make the game on Monday. He picked up a knock against Athlone at home, I think. Yeah. He'd be a big mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. And he scored goals as well. In the last few matches, he scored goals and good goals. He's a really good defender, defends really well. And, you know, he will be definitely a big miss. So it'll be interesting to see who goes inside along with Joel Bradley-Walsh and there. So, that, yeah, listen, it's not ideal. As I said earlier, squad's probably not the biggest depth-wise. And when you lose players like him, who's played really well this season, he's going to be a big miss. And especially, you know, can you miss him one match, but two matches over the weekend? But hopefully he'll be back after that and fitting well.
Yeah, as I say, we'll hear more from last night's presser to launch the €5 for all campaign Monday evening. All tickets are a fiver for Monday's game at Finn Park against Bray. It's a great incentive now with the good weather kicking in. It's a good incentive to get out and support the team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a bank holiday weekend, as we say. The weather is fantastic at the moment and hopefully it holds for the weekend and everybody can have a really, really enjoyable weekend. But yeah, listen, can we get over to Finn Park and watch them and push them on and get 3 points on the bank holiday Monday?
Suppose the most important thing, hopefully they get a positive result tomorrow because it'll be a nice way to, you know, head into that game on Monday against Bray. Should be a big crowd, good atmosphere. It'll be just lovely to take a small bit of positive momentum into it rather than another defeat tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that's probably the key aspect of it, you know, and also, you know, if you're away from home for the first one, I think having the home match on the Monday makes a big difference because obviously a long journey down to Wexford and then coming back up. So, you're coming back in the early morning, Saturday morning. So at least then you have the Monday, you know, the Sunday off and you prepare for the game on the Monday rather than going the other way around where you're home first on the Friday and then you're away for the Monday. So it's a testing weekend for players. But yeah, listen, you want them to hopefully carry a bit of momentum into the game on the Monday night.
And I'll finish with the Finn Harp stuff by asking you the usual question we do on these bank holiday weekends. Come full time on Monday at Finn Park, what would a decent bank holiday weekend look like for Finn Harps?
I think, you know, if you can get a point away from home and then get three at home, so that'd be a really good weekend, 4 points. Now you could end up beating Wexford, hopefully, and then you get a point at home. So 4 points over the two matches would be a really good weekend and that really pushes them up the table a wee bit as well.
Well, the first task is, of course, tomorrow night's trip to Ferry Carrick Park to face Wexford. Elsewhere tomorrow night, unbeaten league leaders Cork City welcome neighbours Cove to Turner's Cross. UCD play Longford Town. It's Bray Wanderers against Treaty and Kerry are in the Midlands to face Athlone Town. So we'll move on to Premier Division matters. Declan, Derry City coming into games against Bowes and Galway this weekend. They'll have a big spring in their step after two really excellent results against Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, two big results. You know, and performances probably played better throughout the season and didn't get points. And, you know, you look at the Shamrock Rovers game, obviously played in the Gaelic pitch in Derry, and you know the grass and the pitch wasn't in great shape, and it wasn't conducive for Shamrock Rovers, who like to play really good offensive football, but so did Derry, but it just wasn't a good spectacle. But the most important thing was Derry got 3 points, and you said that they got 3 points a week before that as well, so that was 6 points on the bounce. So, it really pushed them up the table a wee bit, eased the pressure on their manager, who was under real pressure there as well, I think. So it's an opportunity. They're playing Bowes. Derry have done really well in Daly Mount down through the years. The performance have been really good, picked up points. Bowes are going through a bit of a sticky patch at the moment as well, so who started off really well, and I thought they'd be up there fighting, but the last results haven't been great. You know, the last seven games they've drawn four and lost three, so
three defeats in a row now.
So you know, it's probably a really good opportunity for Derry going up there with loads of confidence to play Bowes this weekend.
That win over Rovers last week, Rovers, as you say, did seem to struggle a bit with the pitch at Celtic Park.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think Derry can now swing to use in their advantage? Maybe it'll be very interesting to see how the likes of Galway adapt to it on Monday as well.
I had this conversation with somebody and was thinking it's going to be a different game completely, and Galway will. We've had to adapt to it probably a bit better than Shamrock Rovers, I think, because they like to play the ball in behind fullbacks and then behind centre halves and get defenders turning and facing their own goals. So it's definitely a better, harder match, and also Derry would probably have more possession than they had against Shamrock Rovers, so you've got to force the issue a wee bit, where Galway will probably sit in a wee bit deeper and have a nice structure and be hard to play against. So it's a different game completely, and a very, very difficult game. Galway always gives you a difficult team to play against. They worked really, really hard, well organised, really good from set plays. So it's going to be a big weekend for Derry City. But it's an opportunity against Bowes first. Going to get 3 points, and then they'll take another 3 points against Galway, regardless of the performance.
If you were to look at bigger picture with Derry, I know they had a bad start to the season, but a lot of people tipped them to do really well and be up challenging for the title. They're sitting in fifth spot, 9 points off the top spot heading into this weekend. In terms of those title ambitions, is it still achievable for this group this year?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at it, I mean, you know, Derry are in 17 points and St. Pat's are in 26. You look at this weekend, if they can get 6 points out of those two matches, that pushes them up to 23. They're third in the table. Like, so, you know, that's not
for having
out.
Such a bad start. For they're not such, in,
yeah, they're not that, because there's been no real team that's been consistent. Shamrock Rovers are up there, we know, and to 25 points. St. Pat's had a bad start and then have come good, scored a lot of goals, and scored the most goals in the league so far. So, you know, if you can, is that, get the, you know, another one, and can you build on that? And you know, 5 or 6 ones pushes well up the table. You know, so it's a big weekend, as you said. They got 2 ones in the bounce. Can they get another 2 ones over this weekend? And that'll make a massive difference, and it will push them back in to that position where they want to be up fighting for the top position.
So tomorrow night's Premier Division fixtures: Derry away to Bowes, as we heard. Shamrock Rovers play Waterford. It's Galway United hosting St. Pat's. Shelburne are away to Dundalk, and Sligo Rovers are away to Drogheda United. Maybe we'll finish with a word on Sligo, Declan. It's been a good few weeks. I know you're involved with the under 20s.
Yeah.
The seniors, 3 wins in a row, unbeaten now in 4. After a very difficult open in 10 games or so, it's been a really remarkable turnaround since the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said earlier, you know, it's getting those couple of ones together. Sligo, obviously, 3 ones in a row, and that pushes and gives them 9 points, and, you know, really accelerates them up the league a wee. But they're still near the bottom as such, you know what I mean? Like, they're sitting in 14 points and fourth from the bottom. I suppose the prize package is that Shelburne's below them in 13 points, but that's a different kettle of fish. But Sligo have been really good. Performance have been good. Against Dundalk, very good first half, probably should have been 2 or 3 up, and Dundalk were very good in the second half after they went down to 2-0, and Sligo went to 2-0, and Dundalk were very good for the last half an hour. But Sligo defended very, very well when they needed, and defended the box really well. But again, difficult match away to Drogheda. Drogheda probably last couple of years have started off very, very brightly and have been, you know, up near the top of the league, but this year not so much. You know, so they're sitting at 13 points ahead of, obviously, Waterford, who's in bottom position on the table. So their form hasn't been good, but they're very, very difficult to beat, and Sligo don't have a good track record in beating them up and draw it. So it'll be very interesting what happens this weekend. I know Sligo have a few injuries as well, so difficult match. Sligo beat Drogheda early in the season as well in the showgrounds. So, yeah, I think this could be a draw or Drogheda to beat Sligo.
Declan Boyle, thank you very much for joining us in studio. Hopefully we get a good weekend's football. Hopefully the good weather stays and a couple of positive results for Finn Harps and Derry City.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be key, is if Harps can get 3 points or even, say, 4 points over the two matches and 6 points, that'd be brilliant, you know.
Good stuff, Declan. Chat soon.
Thank you.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. So we touched on it, but let's find out a bit more about that €5 for all campaign for tickets for Monday's game against Bray Wanderers. Chris Ashmore was at the press event last night and he caught up with Harps manager Kevin McHugh. But first of all, here is local player Joel Bradley Walsh, who says he grew up going to Finn Park to watch the team he is now a part of.
We're 12 games into the season, 8th in the table. Now, you've only won 2, you've lost, I think it's 5, but the games that you lost, 4 of them were just by 1 goal. So perhaps that league table is not a true reflection on things.
Yeah, I suppose the league that it is, it's a graveyard league, but we're definitely very close. Some of the games were thrown away, you know, we could have sat back and took the draw. Some of the games we were drawing, we could have went for it. It is just the way it is. I suppose it's the first phase of the league and it's the first time you're playing the team, so you're just getting a feel for it. Our record at home is much improved though. I suppose to survive and to climb the table, your home record has to be as good as it gets, so that's an improvement and something we worked on in pre-season big time and defending. I think most of our games we only lost by a goal, if that's all. So we're a lot closer, which is big, and we stay in the game for the 90 minutes, which is really important. Like,
And there's good camaraderie amongst the squad. The new guys seem to have settled in as well.
Yeah, they came in, suppose they came in just before Christmas. Some of them came after Christmas. I think some of them got a bit of a shock, weather-wise and pitch-wise and all that crack. But no, definitely they're brilliant in the change room. Likewise, everybody else, it's brilliant. Dressing room, so it is. A lot of different personalities and types of players, and the bond's really strong. So no, that was very important now that they came in and they settled in really well.
And tell me about the season so far for you. Have you been enjoying every game?
I do, definitely. Obviously, going out to represent Finn Harps is something I don't take for granted. So every time I step out there and try and be the best version of myself. Got a nice wee run of games there. It's really important that you try and stay in the team, since it's such a high level. So coming off the pitch, you can be hard on yourself, or before you go on it, you can't be. But no, it's been really enjoyable so far, and another 25 games to go, I think. So take every game as it is, I suppose, for now, but it's not something I take for granted when I go on that.
And it's good for the club, and of course for you, having a local man in the team.
Definitely. Would have went to all the games, I suppose, when I was younger. I have a lot of relations and stuff that represented Harps, and I have Shawnee there with me at the minute, who's my cousin. So I suppose it's in the family, and it's something we really thrive on, is supporting Finn Harps and now playing for them, which is great.
Yeah. And Cork, pretty much everyone reckons will win the league, and probably will win it with a little bit to spare. But aside from them, who has impressed you most so far?
I suppose it's kind of hard. There's a couple of teams that we probably would have had our eye on before the season started. I suppose Wexford being one of them, just by the players they brought in. It's really hard to get a proper look at teams until you probably play them again. You know, as I said earlier, most games, if we did lose, we only lost by a goal. So we're not far away from any teams. You know, you'd like to think them teams were thinking about us at the start of the year as well. So we don't go in with the mindset that anybody's better than us, definitely not. But yeah, the Cork one, that's kind of, every time a team comes down, they're very close to going up again. So it's not that you leave Cork out of the race. When you do play them, you make it as hard as you can, which we did. And we'll do the same when we go down to Turner's Cross, because they're in our league for a reason as well. So any team at all that comes up, we give it 100% and try and take 3 points off them.
And talking of training, Kevin McHugh said at the press conference here this week that you've moved from the astral back to the grass, so we have had dreadful weather pretty much the first part of the season. How do you find that adjustment?
To be honest, it benefits our team in a way. It probably benefits 95% of it. I suppose with the astral situation, it's the weather, it's the country, but it's fine in summer where you can actually train. Like, you know, there's a lot of pitches that are grass that wouldn't survive if we trained on it 3 or 4 times a week, you know what I mean? So the Astros, it's a good thing to have. And yeah, we've moved on to grass now, which is very good.
So Kevin, 2 games in 4 days again. Wexford, first of all, they're in form at the moment, 4 straight home wins and some decent players down there.
Yeah, well, so we can highlight that Wexford is probably one of the teams that's probably going to push Cork all the way. Because I've seen that they've signed in the off season, and yeah, you have a lot of high quality players, and he's a big squad they pick from as well, and he's an ambitious boy, Stephen. So yeah, but again, we've caused them some serious problems here at home, and definitely should have beat them. Turned on a brilliant performance in the second half, and it ended up 1-1, but we should have won the game. So we'll be good down. It'll be no different. We go down when we play away from home or at home. We'll be approaching the game the exact same way, you know.
And again, squad rotation, Conor Torres is out anyway.
Yeah, Conor's out. Maybe Monday might come too soon for Conor against Bray, but certainly against Kerry he'll be back. But yeah, he took a heathy knock in the last home game against Athlone.
How much are you thinking of Bray, or is it a case that it's not till a second after the final whistle against Wexford?
Yeah, that's the old cliche. Every energy and every thought you have now goes into Wexford to kick off. And then once the final whistle blows, one loser draw, you just have to think about Bray. And then Bray will be the same. Then as soon as the Bray game's over, you have to think about Kerry. It's 3 games in a week. And no easy game in this league. So yeah, we'll try and rotate the squad as best we can. Players are itching to get a chance to go and prove how good they are. So they'll get the chance this week.
6 games still to the summer break. Some people may look at the league table, see you're 8th, 5 points adrift, but it's still early days and you've been around long enough to know, and we even saw the last couple of seasons, often a team sort of comes from the lower pack late on, so it's at the end of the season that it counts.
Yeah, it's definitely the last phase where it really, really counts, but you want to stay in touching distance right up until then. And come here, we've got a huge, hugely competitive team, and they're all ambitious boys, and as are we staff, and we want to win every game. So we'll try and put ourselves in a good position for that final phase. And again, it's just about improving everything we do every single week, individually and collectively, and hopefully that'll be enough for us.
And you've said about the new players that have come in this season, quite a few of them have come from warmer climates and maybe playing maybe a different sort of technical game, and it's been difficult for them with the dreadful weather we've had. So perhaps we're going to see more from them, and you would be optimistic?
Yeah, you can see it even just this week alone. This is the first week we're back in grass training, and you can see it. You can see a wee pep in the and people who step, and a lot of the players, even the local players, but especially the players that are used to maybe better weather, better pitches. Hopefully we can do that now. We can churn from park out and definitely get a better surface as well. But now we'll be playing on grass pitches three of the away games, Wexford, Cork and Tredy, and then obviously all their home games. So that's a plus. But definitely to get back on grass. And to be fair to the boys that have come over, they've adapted to the weather, they've adapted to the really poor pitches, and they've just got about their business. And to be fair, there is no egos in the change room. There is no players that make excuses, they just get on with things, and that's hugely encouraging for us as a staff, you know.
And finally, vis-a-vis this time last season, you feel that where Harps are at the moment, the club's in a better place and the potential is very much there.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see it in our younger players coming through, or current local players, and the boys coming in. I personally think we're definitely in a better place than we were this time last year. It's not to say we won't be looking at one or two additions in the summer. Every squad will be the same throughout the country. So, we're just looking to improve every aspect of our game. But we certainly have a team worth coming to look at. Anyway, I can tell you that.
That was Finn Harps manager Kevin McHugh, and before that was local player Joel Bradley Walsh. And Finn Harps, along with Highland Radio, have teamed up to bring you that great value day out on Bank Holiday Monday, the 4th of May, when Harps take on Bray Wanderers at Finn Park. So whether you're a diehard fan or just bringing the kids for their very first game, every single ticket, including adults, is just €5. So kickoff is at 5 o'clock on Bank Holiday Monday at Finn Park. Come out and support your local League of Ireland team. Enjoy the atmosphere and get behind the Harps. Tickets for the game are available at finharps.ie. Elsewhere, Saturday is a big day for Coleraine. Rory Higgins' side face Dungannon Swifts. That is in the Irish Cup final on Saturday. Kickoff is at 2:30. So it's time for a quick break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at local soccer. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the programme. Now it is time to turn the focus to local soccer. Bonagie United make the long trip to Tipperary to take on Clonmel Celtic this coming Sunday in round 4 of the FAI Junior Cup. And to look ahead to the big game, I'm joined now by Bonagie United manager Mickey Funston. Mickey, it's a big week for the club. How have the preparations been going? I'd say there's a bit of a buzz around the place this week.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of excitement. Everybody's, as I said, a lot of people are excited about going down. The young fellas are really looking forward to getting down and getting the challenge and then seeing down the country. And it's, as a club, it's always exciting. You know, I always think these national competitions are probably for the committee and stuff like that to come with us and to get a feel for it and get a feel for the occasion. And moving on, obviously, the National League's in the back of our mind, it's a good feel for what's going to come. So we kind of see this as preparation for everything. It's a really good opportunity to get, obviously, into the next round, you know, to the last 32. So look, the opportunity's there and the excitement's there and the buzz is definitely there. And that you can feel the energy and training on Tuesday and hopefully the same tonight and Thursday.
Yeah, what kind of squad are you taking down the road? I'd imagine, as you say, the vibe is probably very lively around training these days. A big away day is exciting, as you say, for the younger crowd especially. Is everyone fit and raring to go?
Yeah, look, listen, as the story of our season, we have a couple of people carrying a few knocks, and that's just the way football is at this stage of the season. But we have everybody fit, and I probably will take a couple of younger players with me for the experience. As I said, moving on, looking at the National League, I think it'll do them really, really well. And I want to bring that energy, and I always have that thing that somebody gave me a chance when I was very young to play, so I always have that in the back of my mind that, you know, sometimes young fellas might make a mistake, but their honesty and hard work will make up for it, and I always think you need to bring real energy with you when you travel away, and that enthusiasm spreads through the group.
What about your opponents on Sunday, Clonmel Celtic? Have you been able to find out a bit about them, or how much do you know about them and the challenge they'll possess?
Look, and not really in the last couple of years, but on former years, they've done really well in this competition. And their league form this year has been a mixed bag. They're a really young side, so that unpredictability of a young side, as the man says, keeps me up at night, because if you were playing a more settled side, you would know what you're going to get. The results probably haven't been what they would want them to be through this season. You know, in the last couple of years, they've kind of had a bit of a mixed side. I know they have a couple of injuries, and they have a couple of guys coming back from what I've been told for the weekend. So it's like everything, it's probably their last chance at silverware like ourselves this year. So they'll do everything they can to get a fully fit team out. So that's the challenge. And you're going down there into a ground that we don't really know. We know, obviously, it's the home of John Delaney, and the pitch will be in really good nick, and the facilities will be good, and look, the weather's to be good on Sunday. So it should, that first 25 minutes should be helter-skelter, and it's about staying in the competition, especially when you travel so far in them first 25 minutes, and that's the most important thing. But like anything, in any game I ever talk about, I always give them a wee bit on the opposition, and that's just for a mindset. But I just fully focus on what we're going to do and what we're going to bring. Like I travel down the road with Gareth Harkin with me, and when you take somebody of his quality with you, you know you've got a real chance to win any game. He's been outstanding for us this year, and you know, with his experience and his leadership and his standard setting, you know, I feel we're in a really good place.
I believe if you do manage to get the job done against Clonmel on Sunday, I think you should have a home match then against Rathkeel of Limerick or Killarney of Kerry in round 5. Is that maybe an extra wee motivating factor that you potentially have a massive game at the Dry Arch around the corner should you get through Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. I think you always have to use those tools to motivate players, not that they'll need any extra motivation, but to, you know, maybe to get into the last 32, to possibly get into the last 16, that game is at home. Oh, massive. It's a massive carrot, absolutely. And home fixtures are really all you sometimes want in this competition. Even though we're away this time, you know, to have a home tie just means the travelling's less, and it means you're just more settled. But look, you know, it is definitely a motivating factor. But now hopefully it's something that the boys won't think too much about. We'll just be fully focused on getting to the next round, because I am a man that believes you can only do one thing at a time, and you can only be sternly focused on one thing. So the players will be just worried about kickoff on Sunday at 1:30, and that's where their mindset will be.
That's it, and it goes without saying, but you mentioned earlier, a wee cup run now going into the summer months would be the best possible preparation for that National League starting in August. So competitive matches through the summer would definitely be ideal heading into that.
Oh, absolutely. Competitive matches, you know, would probably give the boys a couple of a week's break and then get them refocused for that second round tie, we'll say possibly on the 24th of May. So it definitely would be something that would keep the whole squad ticking over all summer, and for preparation for the National League, it would be ideal. But also, you know, life sometimes over the summer, there's a lot of other things happening. So, but to have a cup run like that and their focus would be really good. It would keep the whole squad focused and tied together nicely.
Finally, Mickey, it's obviously a very exciting time to be associated with Bonagie United, with the new league on the horizon and maybe a wee cup run into the summer. Sunday will be a massive game, but hopefully this is just the start of these kind of trips and games against high-quality opposition for you.
Yeah, as I said at the start of this, you know, this is a kind of a little tester for the club and the committee of what, you know, the National League's all about. The National League's all about, and senior football's all about travelling away. We know in Ireland, in any league you play, I mean, you just have to do the bus journeys, and they become part and parcel of the preparation and the lifestyle of playing at the National League. And if you want to play at the top table, it's something you have to embrace and you have to enjoy doing, and it has to be part and parcel. So for me, as I would say, it's a good practice run maybe for the club and the players of what's to come. But no, it's definitely really exciting moving into the National League, and you know, the club and everybody around the club and myself personally are really excited to see what way it unfolds. And as I said many times before, but the collapse of the senior league, this is really exciting, and hopefully, you know, for everybody in the Northwest, every club entering it goes really well, because As I say, you need that energy and you need competition and you need derby games for yourselves and Letterkenny and Cork Hill, and you need that real enthusiasm for people, you know, who mightn't, we'll say, come to the Bunnegie or, we'll say, Cork Hill or Letterkenny to buy into it and come and watch these standard football matches. I think it's going to be really good for football in the North West to do.
Bunnegie United manager Mickey Funston. Kildrum Tigers and Redcastle United were also due to meet in the FAI Cup this Sunday, but it is Ulster Cup winners Kildrum who will progress to round five automatically, as Redcastle have withdrawn from the competition. Elsewhere this coming Sunday, there's a massive relegation promotion battle in Ballyar as Convoy Arsenal take on Dromahol. Whoever wins that game will play in Division 1 next season. Kickoff at Diamond Park is at 1 o'clock. And a couple of cup finals to tell you about this Saturday as well. The Voodoo Cup final between Old Town Celtic and Kildrum Tigers. That game will be played in Ballyar at 1 o'clock, while McGinn Park hosts the meeting of Cockhill Utes and Mobile Celtic from 4. Glengad United will celebrate their 50th anniversary over this coming Maybank holiday weekend. The Inishowen Football Club are one of the most decorated in the county, with a lot of their success on the pitch coming in the 2010s. Under the leadership of Liam McLean and then Shane Byrne, Glengad won 4 Inishowen Premier Division titles on the bounce between 2015 and 2018. Then on what was the biggest day in the club's history, it took 2 second half goals from Michael O'Connor and Corey Galvin for Waterford to knock Glengad out of the FAI Senior Cup at the quarterfinal stage back in 2019. Waterford won 2-0 that day, and since then it's been a period of transition, with the club dropping down to the Inishowen First Division, but with an up-and-coming young squad, there are shoots of the past growing up through the roots at the Crua Sports Ground. Martin McDermott, Glengad's chairman, he spoke to Highlands Oisin Kelly this week to look ahead to the 50th anniversary celebrations.
Martin McDermott, chairman of Glengad United, welcome along to Highland. How are you doing?
Good, Oisin. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Yeah, and listen, it's a busy period for Glengad United, obviously celebrating their 50th anniversary. There's a big event planned coming up for the Maybank holiday weekend. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I suppose, what's it been like this year, putting all these preparations together, and what's the feel like around the club at the moment, Martin?
Yeah, look, there's great excitement in the club at the moment. I mean, these preparations, I suppose, to be fair, have been going on for quite a number of years. Going back to when we started off the project, as you know, Glengad played behind the National School there in that field beside the community centre. It just wasn't big enough. We didn't have the room there to do and to expand the facilities that we needed to for underage and for reserve football, senior football. So we went about trying to get somewhere in Glengad to build a football pitch. And Oisin, I'm sure you know Glengad as well as me. Not really wild many places in Glengad you can build a football pitch that's is not full of rock. So we I suppose, a few of us at the time, Liam McLean and Paddy Doherty and other people, we looked at a plot of land that was sort of, as you leave Glengad heading to Malin Head, sort of going up the Hull Road, and there was a plot of land there that was probably, people thought we were mental at the time of even thinking about trying to make football facilities on there, but we did. We started, and we started off, and we made the football pitch. Then we expanded, and we done an Astro pitch, which has moved on now to having probably one of the best football pitches, with fence around it, with floodlights, Astro with floodlights, changing rooms, tire car park, and proper facilities now. And I suppose if you looked at it back then and looked at what we've achieved now, you wouldn't believe what could be achieved, and the amount of work and time and dedication that so many in the club has put into it. We're delighted to be where we are today with it.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a fortress to go to, Glengad. It was a tough place for the opposition teams.
Yeah, look, there was never a nice day in Glengad. It was always windy and it was always blowy, even on a good day. So, I mean, lots of teams never liked coming to Glengad, and particularly to the new pitch, which is a very big pitch. And, you know, through the years, Glengad had lots of good, talented players, fast players that suited them on a big, wide pitch. And there weren't too many teams, even national teams, that would have wanted to come to Glengad to play.
Yeah. There was a period of about 6 or 7 years where the club won 22 trophies, Martin, which was a phenomenal achievement for a club your size and to keep so many good players together for such a long period of time. And it was under the direction of Liam McLean and Shane Byrne were the two managers during that successful period as well. But listen, you've worked very, very hard off the field to keep the club going. But on it, the group of players that you had worked extremely, extremely hard to get the trophies. And they were a talented group, so they were.
They were, and I suppose, Oisín, you know, was it every club or any club would be lucky to have a group of players that we had that came through from, you know, under-10s, under-12s, 14s, 16s, 18s, up to reserve and senior level. And that group of players, as you mentioned, Liam McLean would have been, you know, at the forefront of that, and it would have brought that young team through, and they were touching one in the league on a number of occasions, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years in advance of winning it. Then at that time, Liam felt he took the team as far as he could take them, and then we looked for a manager, and then Shane Byrne came in. Shane, he's, as you know well, with his soccer experience, which is not just known in Donegal, it's known all over the country, who would have worked in ATU and still with ATU, and brought, I suppose, a different angle to the team and to the club, and he brought that team on to some great success. You know, probably the highlight of that success, like winning the National League, you know, four years in a row, and it's never been done before. And then I suppose the pinnacle of that, I suppose, was getting to the quarterfinal of the FA Senior Cup and playing Waterford in McGinn Park. That was, you know, a special day for a club where it comes from a very small population of people, only 700-800 people in the Glengiad area. And, you know, having a number of other clubs around, you know, Malhead, Kildaff, Glenealy, all around the same area, it's just brilliant for the club. And it was a momentous day for everyone. But I suppose our eye was always on trying to bring facilities to the best facilities we could. And we kept at that even after. We kept on pushing, and we kept on pushing to get the facilities for the next generation of players that comes along.
Yeah. Just on that day in 2019, you really put it up to Waterford. Waterford needed two late goals on that occasion to progress through to the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup. But it was dream stuff for a small club like Glengad. That's probably the biggest game he's ever participated in.
Oh, there's no doubt that's without a doubt the biggest game that you know that we've ever participated on. I mean, there are not many teams in any show around Donegal that you know, for a team and coming from such a small club that would have participated in such an event and such a big event again, you know, senior players that were you know, sort of semi-professional footballers, and it was, look, our boys were excellent on the day. They were excellent at that time. We had just a fantastic group of players, and we brought on some players at the time as well, a few from different areas that made the team stronger. And you know, it just was, that team could have went anywhere at that time. But look, it's like every team, every club gets its day, and that team passes on, then you move on to the next level, and that's where we are at the minute. And hopefully we'll be back there someday as well.
On a player's point of view, we can't name everybody, obviously, that came through Glengad and particularly was part of that trophy-laden period for the club. But you were recognised at international level on the amateur front for your successes and the quality of players that you had. Matthew Byrne had a considerable amount of time played at both the Irish amateur side, and John Jared McLaughlin and Terence Doherty, to that extent too, were also part of it, which was obviously a huge bonus for the club as well, having so many players getting caps at international level, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what any club would strive themselves for, is to get their players to be playing at international level. And, you know, those players, and they were fantastic at that time, and they wore their heart for Glengad and the Glengad jersey. And then when they got the opportunity to play for Ireland, like any boyhood dream would want to play for Ireland, and those boys got that opportunity, and rightly so, because, you know, at that time, that team was as good as any team in Ireland at junior football level, and absolutely that team could have went on and played at a higher level at that time, there's no doubt about that. But it was great for the club, and as I say, great for those players to get that opportunity to to play at a national level.
Yeah. Just looking at things currently around the club, obviously it's been a number of years since you've got your hands on a trophy, but you mentioned there about the under-10s and the underage, that them players all worked their way up through the age brackets and then represented senior. How's things going at the moment there, Martin?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's lots of... We have under-8s, 10s, 12s, 14s, 16s. There's lots going on within the club at underage level. Stephen McLaughlin, Mary McLaughlin put a lot of work into our underage structure, getting it together and getting it up and running. You know, look, we're building, and it's not easy washing for rural clubs at the minute. As you know, the rural clubs struggle with numbers versus the bigger clubs within the towns. And that's it's no different for us than it is for any of the other rural clubs around Inishowen or around Donegal. The school numbers are not what they were, and so you don't have the numbers like we used to have. But look, we have a good team there at reserves, good young reserves team. We have a good young senior team now that is probably just pupping to get back to the Premier Division in Inishowen, and you know, nearly made it this year. I would say that they definitely will be in a position to be fighting for getting back to the Premier Division in Inishowen next year. And that's, you know, under the stewardship of Stephen McLaughlin, and who does fantastic work. So, you know, lots going on within the club. There's lots going on at every age group. But that's what we've been working for, and that's what our facilities are for. And, you know, our day will come round again when we'll have the success we had a number of years back, and we look forward to that.
Yeah. So then tell us what's happening on the weekend of the 50th anniversary, Martin.
Look, I suppose that we're 50 years. The club started back in 1976. A local man, Barney McDade, Barney Cooper, started Glengad Football Club. We played in a number of different places at that time. Glengad would have started playing, and would have played out in where Carramina plays now for a number of years. Played in Malintown, played in Kildaff, played in different homes throughout that period of time, and predominantly played behind the school in Glengad at the school pitch. Up until the late 2000s, 2007, 2008, when we moved up to the Crua. I suppose that Barney was tragically lost then in 1987 in a drowning tragedy in Glengad. And that was a big hit to the club at that time. It actually went out of existence for a year. It was that much of a blow to the club. But we got things back up and running again, and you know, a lot has to be put down to those boys that seen the foresight to start a club, particularly in, you know, a small rural area. And then I suppose, Josh, and we bolted from that, and we had some great success through the 80s. There would have been great success in Glengarry Football Club. Through the 90s there would have been lots of success, particularly in Division 1, Father Garris Cups and all that. I suppose it really hit then in the 2000s when that team started to come through in late 2000s into the between 2010 2020, where we had great success. But look, you know, we have a lot of success and had a lot of success on the pitch, but to be fair, there's a lot of success off the pitch. We have a great group of committee that's been together for years now, working together and very tight knit. And we started that pitch 22 years ago, and it takes a lot to keep a committee and keep everybody working together for 22 years to deliver the facilities that we have. You know, we didn't get a lot of state funding. It's only in recent years that we really got state funding. We built the football pitch. We raised the money for doing all that. We raised the money locally. We ran a lotto and we ran different events. But then we applied for funding for an Astro through Leader, and we got money through that, which built a new Astro. And then we had the pitch. We applied for community recognition, which got the fence around the pitch. And then we applied for sports capital in the last programme to get the floodlights done. We then got Clare monies then to do the car park. But the main change rooms themselves was done a lot of voluntary work by a lot of people within the club and people outside the club and people in the local community who've done a massive amount of work, and we can't thank the community in Glengarry enough. We're so proud of what we've achieved there and what the community has achieved, because, you know, you don't get that in every community, and we're really lucky that we have that in our community. We're a close-knit community and people pull together, and I suppose the school and the football club is the heartbeat of any local area, and that's where people come together, and that's what people fight for, and that's what people, you know, put their hand in their pocket and you know, done anything that they could, supported all our events that we ran. We're probably somewhere in the region of 800,000 or 900,000, close to £1 million spent on a facility there, with state funded of about 350,000. So you can see the amount of money that was raised outside that to have those facilities, and you know, we're really proud of that.
Did you answer my question about what was planned for the weekend?
No, I'll come to that now.
Right.
So the weekend, the weekend of the opening, Oisin, we're having, so it starts at 3 o'clock on the Sunday, and we're having an underage blitz with a number of different teams from different clubs coming, and then at 4 o'clock we'll have the official opening, and I'm delighted to announce, and I want to thank Derry City and Philip O'Doherty. James McLean is going to officiate the opening. With James McLean's coming down to do the opening of the football pitch. We will also have the Minister for Sport, Charlie McConlogue, and we'll have a number of other dignitaries there as well on the day. And then on that evening, then we have a gala dinner in the lodge in Ballyliffin to celebrate 50 years of Glengarry Football Club, where there will be, you know, memorabilia and pictures, and just talking maybe to players that played, some of the players that would have played in that very first game that Glengarry played in the league back in 1976 against Cairn. We'll have players there that actually played in that game and would have played for Glengarry throughout that. So some stories and some good stories, and some, you know, remembering the people that we've lost throughout the way as well, and very important people within our club, and remembering them as well. But so hopefully it'll be a great day, and a great celebration, and a great night, and we're just looking forward to that now. The hard work has been done, and we're looking forward to that now, Oisin.
All right then, Martin. Listen, all we can do is wish you and everybody involved with Glengarry the very best of luck over your 50th anniversary weekend, and enjoy it. Have a good time.
Thanks, Josh.
That is Glengarry Chairman Martin McDermott in conversation with our own Oisin Kelly. Now let's turn to Gaelic games. The Donegal ladies are back out this weekend in round two of the Ulster Senior Football Championship. James Daly's side face Tyrone on Sunday at 2 o'clock in Lifford. Maureen O'Donnell will have updates from that game for us on Highland Radio Sunday Sport. Donegal looking to bounce back from a round one defeat to Armagh last weekend. The minor ladies are also in Ulster Championship action. They take on Down. That is in the Platinum Final with Throwin at 2 o'clock on Saturday in Killyclogher. In the men's game, it is Ulster semi-final weekend. Down, fresh off the big win over Donegal last weekend, they will look to topple another of the province's big hitters as Conor Lafferty's side face Armagh in Clonus on Sunday at 4 o'clock. The winners of that game will then face the winners of Derry's clash with Monaghan. That game will be played at the Boxed Athletics Grounds in Armagh on Saturday evening from 5 o'clock. It's a huge weekend for Donegal 2012 All-Ireland winner Mark McHugh as well. His Westmeath team face Kildare in the Leinster semi-final on Sunday. That game is at 2 o'clock. And the Ulster Minor Football Championship continues on Saturday with Donegal, Derry and Tyrone all playing. Tyrone are away to Monaghan. Derry face Cavan, and Donegal, who were beaten by Cavan in round one, they played Down in a round two qualifier in Convoy. Here in Donegal this weekend, there are games across divisions 1, 2 and 3 of the All-County Leagues. In Division 1 on Sunday, it's Iru Ballyshannon at home to Sean McCool's, and Glenfinn host Niamh Connell. Both of those games are at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And finally for now in Gaelic games, the Donegal Senior Hurling League continues tomorrow night. Muncrana play St Unions, Dunlow play Cairn Donna, Burt host Iru Ballyshannon, and Sean McCool's are at home to Setanta. Highland's dedicated weekly GAA programme is available to listen back now over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney recapped Donegal's defeat in the Ulster Championship with former Donegal players Niall O'Donnell and Frank McGlynn, and Niall Loughran of the Irish News as well. That is the DL debate, which you can listen back to now over at highlandradio.com or on the Radio Player app. So now let's have a look at what else is happening in the sporting world this weekend. In motorsport, Callum Devine will go for 5 Killarney International Rally of the Lakes wins in a row. If they achieve it, he would match Bertie Fisher's record. Devine and Nola Sullivan topped the bill for that event, where there's also lots of Donegal interest as always. David Kelly, Eamon Kelly, Michael Boyle and Declan Boyle are all ranked in the top 10 for that, really, just to name a few of the Donegal interest. In cricket, Letterkenny finally get going in senior cricket this Saturday. They take on Eglinton in Section 2 of the Northwest Premier League. There's a full round of fixtures, and then on Sunday, the charity final will be contested between Brigade and Donnymana. That one is at the Rectory. Finally for tonight, in the world of athletics, Aaron Friel of Letterkenny is in the Irish senior squad for the World Relays in Botswana. Also on the team are two other Donegal athletes, Arlene Crossan of Finn Valley and Fintan Dewhurst of Tyrconnellacy. They'll all be competing in 4x400m events. Crossan and Friel are scheduled to take part in the women's 4x400m and the mixed 4x400m, while Dewhurst is down for the mixed 4x400m. Those World Relay Championships take place this coming Saturday, May 2nd, and Sunday, May 3rd. So we'll have all the latest from that competition with our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, over the course of the weekend. That's all from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and you want to have a listen back to it, you'll be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website. That is highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7. I am Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much, as always, for listening in. Trudy O'Donnell is up next just after the 8 o'clock news with some great music, as always. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport of the weekend. And I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.